WGCH Radio.
Good morning, Greenwich. It's 9:30 on Wednesday, and that means it's time to talk with me, Jen Graziano. I'm the co-owner of Cox and Graziano Funeral Home, located at 134 Hamilton Avenue. And as part of my family's commitment to the community, I come to you every Wednesday talking to people that matter about things that matter in a place that matters right here in Greenwich. Lots going on in Greenwich this week. Welcome to our WGCH listeners. And hello, good morning, Facebook Live. Thank you to Bob and Tim. And what a full house we have here in the studio. You're probably wondering, if you're watching, what is going on? Who are all these people? And I'm happy to introduce you, because we're talking about a very, very, very important community resource today that we hope you will learn more about. If you hadn't heard of it already, knowledge is power. Perhaps you'll donate, volunteer, donate money, or do something to raise awareness to this really wonderful cause. I am speaking with Vanessa Wilson, Wendy DeCristina, Amy Messing, and the Angel of Greenwich, Joe Calico. We're talking about the YWCA, their civil legal clinic, as well as domestic abuse services. Folks, this is something very real that impacts so many. And when you think of domestic abuse and you think of people who have these legal clinic needs, it could be your neighbor. It could be your friend. It could be someone that you work out in the gym with or take a class with, or someone that you run into at the nail salon. This is not, oftentimes, this is a need that is very disguised, and everybody likes to make assumptions of people's life and how great everything seems on the outside, when in fact there's so much disruption and turmoil on the inside. So we hope today's message will resonate, and if you know someone in need of help, that you will connect them to the YWCA and these wonderful women here. So I don't even know where to begin, but I'm going to begin at the beginning. I think, Vanessa, you are the person that we'll start with. Vanessa Wilson, you are the manager of operations for domestic abuse services for the YWCA, correct?
Yes, and thank you, Jennifer, for having us here today.
Happy to help. So speaking into the mic, Vanessa, can you tell us a bit? We're going to refer to domestic abuse services as DAS for the duration of the show. Just explain kind of who's the arm of what. Are you under the legal clinic of the YWCA? How does this work?
Sure. Thank you. So just to start out, the YWCA Greenwich is dedicated to eliminating racism, empowering women and girls, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. So within the YWCA is our department, Domestic Abuse Services. And the Domestic Abuse Services is a full-scope domestic violence agency providing individual counseling for adults and children, men and women. We provide group counseling as well. We provide emergency shelter services. And we also have our a financial literacy program. We provide criminal court advocacy for victims of any family violence crime in Greenwich. And we also have our civil legal clinic. So the best point of entry for anybody who wants to access our services is our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline.
Okay.
And the number for that, if I could just say, is...
Yeah, and we'll repeat it throughout the show.
Sure. Is 203-622-0003. So for anybody interested in our services, that would be the best point of entry for them, including a referral to the civil legal clinic, which we'll be talking more about today.
Okay. So domestic abuse services is part of the services offered through the YWCA.
Exactly.
Okay. Now we have the civil legal clinic, also offered through the YWCA.
Yes.
Does this just encompass more of a broad range of legal issues that extend beyond domestic violence and domestic abuse, or you're limited to that scope?
We provide services just to the domestic abuse clients of the YWCA.
Okay.
And what we work with are people who have family law problems.
Okay.
Which could include divorce, post-judgment, custody issues. We will refer people out if they have a multitude of issues, which many people do. Mm-hmm. We try to identify what their needs are and how we can help them, and how other attorneys in the community or social service agencies in the community can help them and get them the help they need.
So Wendy and Amy, you're both attorneys and you're both volunteers. So, I mean, I commend you, because what you're doing, you're really empowering mostly women, we'd say, but there are men too that you help.
you're advocating for those who can't advocate for themselves. Let's be honest here. Vanessa mentioned financial literacy. One of the more common scenarios that you must come into play is the divorce situation where there is clearly a financial imbalance between the two parties. Without looking for stereotypes or stigmas, but again, the reality is probably the male of the financial dominance, the stronger financial state, and the woman who is tied financially to him and oftentimes feels that she can't leave, or where would she go? Walk us through a scenario of that and how DAS and the clinic and the YWCA would help such a victim. Amy, we'll start with you.
A lot of our clients have an array of abuse situations that they're dealing with, and one of those is financial abuse, where throughout the marriage they have not had the opportunity, or they've not been allowed the opportunity, to understand their finances, make financial decisions, and help with the budget and be a true partner.
So left in the dark, basically, not knowing what's going on.
Completely unaware of finances, and sometimes money is literally doled out. And so there's that power and control dynamic that revolves around about the couple's finances and money. So with that as the backdrop, it's a very daunting prospect, being divorced and having no knowledge of money, no understanding of what the couple has, and no understanding of how to manage money going forward.
Or even earning capability.
Or the earning, right. So we tell our clients that something they have to be prepared for is employment, and that's something that should be in the background thought about, and how they want to go forward and to be prepared to have an income.
Right.
And work towards that, whether it's going back to school or thinking about a passion or a past career.
Or just starting somewhere, even with part-time employment.
Just to start.
Right, exactly. And, you know, factoring in the balance of work-mom life, too, because they're arguably the caregivers for their children.
Yes, and that's where it gets difficult.
Very difficult.
Because it's a pattern of behavior. If a woman is home and caring for children for a long period of time, and that's how the marriage has been perpetuated, it's really scary to think about this incredible life change.
Absolutely. It's so true. And I often say, as you know, a full-time working single mom, my day is much harder after 3 o'clock when I pick up my child from school and I'm taking, you know, and it's the laundry and the cooking and the getting, and it's one child and the activities. So many people are dismissive of that. And, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, they're just a stay-at-home mom. But there is so much that goes into that. So now when you throw in employment and you haven't been in the workforce for a while, it's a new world. And I don't think society accounts enough for the shift to get reacclimated into the real world. It's not something that, you know, you start work tomorrow at 9 o'clock and it just all falls into place. So you're providing key services. You're helping people plan out the next steps, let them know what's likely coming next. And financial literacy, you know, there are people who just lack a basic understanding of household budgets or just basic, simple, you know, math and accounting, and it's through no fault of theirs. It's just we kind of play the hand we're dealt. We live the life that we're forced to live. So you're really taking these women and you're letting them know that, first of all, you don't have to stay because of the fear of the unknown. You're making the unknown a little more known for them.
Well, we provide a roadmap or a game plan.
Okay.
So that our clients understand the process and they can make a decision. They can decide whether it's safe to leave at this point, how best to leave, and what their plan is for the future.
So, Joe, you connected me to the YWCA because you were the founder of the Needs Clearinghouse, which was a long-time institution where you helped. You were kind of like a charity broker. You were assessing needs in the community and connecting resources to them. One of the things that I know you spoke about here often, we'll have you come up to one of the mics, was providing beds and services for, you know, for people who were in need of shelter. Let's talk a bit about that and how some of the tangible work that you do. You provide a safe haven for people who do need to leave, who do have an immediate safety concern. Do you want to just quickly say hi and speak of that?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. Over the past several years, I learned about the needs of domestic abuse services. That was the point of contact for me with the Y. On occasion, I would get a call. There would be a need for someone who was going out on their own. Maybe they had a couple of kids and they didn't even have a stick of furniture. So the kids were sleeping on the floor. So I was asked if I could help find resources to pay for literally beds or a moving person to help with whatever few pieces of furniture they had. So that was my point of contact. And then over time, that relationship developed. There were more things that I would help raise money for. And I learned that the Y was thinking of this legal clinic, and it sounded like a fantastic resource mm-hmm. to help provide this roadmap for people who weren't sure, you know, which way to go. And so I started raising money that was earmarked for the folks at the legal clinic.
Okay.
So that was my point of contact. And eventually I met Wendy and Amy. They had a class of sorts recently where they helped inform some people in the community about what they were doing. And I just thought it was such a fantastic undertaking that it would be great if, A, they had some more financial resources and some more volunteers. The financial resources go to things like paying for malpractice insurance.
Right.
And to help support the volunteer program.
So the money helps them carry out their mission. Well, thank you, Joe. That was a wonderful. I'm glad you connected, and you're still carrying on your angel mission in Greenwich as best you can. So, ladies, let's talk a bit about how the clinic is set up and how, you know, what you're able to do and how people are able to utilize the services of the clinic. Wendy, do you want to speak about that?
Sure. People come in to see us through domestic abuse services. So
okay.
It's not just you can call us up and set an appointment. We aim to help the individuals in the community. We are serving, filling a gap in the town in terms of most of our clients can't afford a lawyer.
Okay.
Or maybe they used to be able to afford a lawyer and they spent all their money.
Right.
Although we will talk to people who perhaps have assets and don't yet know how to access those to pay for a lawyer.
That's an important distinction as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, you could perhaps not have, you know, started a formal divorce proceeding yet. You could be living in your beautiful home and having the life that you are accustomed to. You can still utilize these services to help you construct your game plan. So an important distinction right there.
Often people who are living in those houses that you refer to may have assets but not money readily available.
Right, or not they lack the access or the knowledge.
It's the lack of access mm-hmm. because of the control.
Absolutely. So it's important to note that too.
But yes. Go ahead. In those cases, we can better prepare those clients to meet with attorneys and know it's okay to do that. And they paid attorneys are always the best option mm-hmm. To be your representative. And they will help you figure out how to find the assets that can pay for the attorney's fees and everything like that. Unfortunately, we can't do everything. We mostly consult with people at the Y. We have an office there. We don't go to court with people.
Okay.
An important thing because it's obviously always best to have somebody standing by your side, but mm-hmm. we can only do so much. So we're filling just a small piece of that gap of services. And we hope to connect with more lawyers in the community who may be willing to take sliding scale people, pro bono cases, in some cases mentor us because we don't know everything.
Right.
We always have questions. And we're now looking to find a few attorneys who may be took time off and looking to get back into the legal world, willing to train up and become another pair of attorneys would be great.
It's a wonderful entree back in if you've been out for a while. So absolutely.
Exactly.
Hopefully this is resonating with people. You know, if someone you know who practiced law for a while, it's a great thing to do if you do have children and you want some part-time work, and it probably would tie you into the cause more passionately as well. So definitely a call for legal help today. Yes, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something.
Sure.
I thought it was really interesting how the clinic was set up to work in pairs. Maybe you can explain that and how my understanding is you don't need to be a Connecticut attorney necessarily to partake in your program.
So that's true, Joe. I'm a New York attorney. I'm barred in New York. Wendy is a New York and Connecticut attorney, and we work together for a couple of reasons. First of all, pursuant to our malpractice policy, a non-Connecticut attorney has to work with a Connecticut barred attorney. And in our case, it just happened to work out that way, and now we've set a precedent, and going forward, that's how we will pair up. It can be an attorney outside of Connecticut with a Connecticut attorney in the room. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is we actually like having two in the room for a couple of reasons. Our clients like it. They feel more comfortable. It's kind of a friendlier, mm-hmm. conversational environment. We sit around the table and we talk about what's going on with them. And Wendy and I are able to bounce ideas off each other, and we confer with each other sometimes during the session or after, and we try to make best decisions, or at least help our clients make best decisions together. And we find that it's just a very comfortable approach, the team approach.
Well, certainly. I mean, just sitting with all of you, I mean, you're very inviting, and you're very, you know, it's friendly, and I could imagine, you know, the need for a non-hostile environment is so important, especially in a time like this. So basically, people would come in, have an appointment. You see about 2 to 4 clients a week. Mm-hmm. And your job, you're kind of a filter. You're going to brace them for what could be coming. You can do some type of document review. You know, if there has been a divorce and there is a judgment or a decree of divorce or custody, you can help them review. You're limited in what you can advise them on, but you can kind of help clarify, because, you know, legalese is hard, even for an attorney. You know, I'm an attorney, and you know, legalese always needs a little bit of translation.
Well, it's intimidating for our clients, especially because they're oftentimes in the midst of a lot of chaos.
Yes, and you're not thinking clearly to begin with.
Right.
You know, it's an emotionally charged time and situation.
So we can sort things out for them.
So this roadmap is so important, kind of bracing them for what comes next. And then again, you want to try to connect them to attorneys who can go into court with them, but can also represent them, you know, with more financial ease. You know, attorneys who are willing to take on the sliding scale, or, you know, reduce fees, or however that works. You want to be able to connect them to your network.
Yeah, in Connecticut, I think the statistic is that 80% of divorce cases involve one pro se client, meaning they don't have an attorney.
80%?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So the court system is used to dealing with pro se clients, and we try to empower our clients, if they can't afford an attorney, of where do you go in the courthouse? Where do you stand?
Yeah.
Who do you ask for help? And it's okay to ask those people for help, because that's their job. And don't be intimidated. It would be nice to have everyone represented, but if they can't, there's ways to do it on your own.
You make it okay. You make mm-hmm. it manageable. So that in and of itself is so important. Even the where to go in a courthouse. Imagine the nerves, the trepidation when you walk through that door, and especially if you know that your spouse is well represented. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be such a huge intimidation factor. And like we said, you know, divorces are not fun. They're emotional. So even the where to go, where to stand, it's so important. And being able to come back to you following court, you know, so they can kind of review what happened. You're providing such key services. I commend you all and your volunteers.
Thank you.
So this is a wonderful resource. You can also help with immigration concerns, safety concerns, referrals to estate attorneys, tax attorneys. And again, this gets back to the financial education component. You're doing group lessons, and you're trying to connect people to individual financial counseling mm-hmm. as well. So you're making something that's very intimidating more manageable, more broachable, and you're letting women know you have options. So it's a wonderful message. And again, folks, this doesn't necessarily impact, this is not the type of thing that's going to impact the person that you see homeless on the street. This is probably something that's impacting your friends and your neighbors. So knowledge is power, and connecting people to a free community resource it's the greatest thing you can do to help someone in need. And I'm going to give that number one more time. We'll give it again, but it's 203-622-0003. This is a 24-hour hotline, and as Vanessa mentioned, probably the best port of entry. The best way to begin is by making that call, a hard call to make, but pick up the phone if you or someone you know is in need, because knowledge is power. So connect people to what they need to know. Vanessa, since you have opened this clinic, do you see the numbers rising? Do you see more and more people coming in? Has the caseload significantly increased?
Sure. Thank you for asking. Actually, since the clinic has opened in July of 2018 to the current date, we've actually had 35 clients referred to the civil legal clinic, and our attorneys, Wendy and Amy, have actually had 43 client meetings. So just to kind of give you an idea of the need of our clients, that it is real, and we are seeing those referrals come through domestic abuse services.
Talk about the outcomes a bit. Talk about, you know, start thinking of your earlier cases. I mean, it's so new. So, mm-hmm. you know, they're probably still, people who came to you earlier are probably still on their journeys. But what have you noticed has been the most significant impact? Have you seen people who came into you absolutely scared and frightened and not thinking that this was possible? Have you seen people like that come back and say, thank you, you know, I feel empowered, I'm able to go through this?
Our clients are very grateful. And they leave feeling more confident in their decisions and empowered by the information we give them. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of follow-up with our clients because it's limited scope representation and we're not seeing them from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. We often don't know what happens, but we assume that if we don't have a follow-up visit, that's good news.
Right.
That they're able to handle whatever needs to be done within the courthouse or are making decisions, making life decisions based upon the knowledge that we've given them. So when we have a follow-up visit, it's satisfying in that we are working through something.
Okay.
And oftentimes we don't have that, but we are hoping that with whatever we've given them, And we give homework assignments about getting papers in order.
Okay.
And, you know, thinking about employment, we hope that they're on their way to getting to a better place in their lives.
You know, again, abuse can take on so many different forms. And, you know, sometimes the word is overused and sometimes it's underutilized. But financial abuse is real. You know, it's something that becomes common practice and people might not categorize it as a form of abuse. But when one spouse is so unaware of assets and access and there is withholding, that's not right. You know, and even in the happiest of marriages, a woman should know where the money comes from, where the money goes. There should be a balance of, you know, even if one spouse is the breadwinner and one spouse is the stay-at-home, knowledge and access should never be withheld. Emotional abuse is a form of abuse. You know, you don't have to be screamed at or yelled at or put down. And there are things that you just don't have to take. And people, again, knowing, having some outside help and outside support might shed light on this is not okay, and it might help them take the necessary next steps. And perhaps that is not always divorce, you know, perhaps it's counseling or perhaps mm-hmm. But it's at least raising awareness to the other party that this is not okay. So having a service such as yours really is raising awareness to mainly women, but again, not always women, but you're looking just to give knowledge, and hopefully that resonates with children who are watching this, mm-hmm. that they grow up knowing what's okay, what's not okay, what can be tolerated, what tolerated and what cannot be tolerated. So long-lasting effects from what you're doing in the community. Outside of the legal clinic, though, DAS also does provide services of safety and shelter. Through the YWCA, yes. Can you speak to that briefly, Vanessa?
Sure, absolutely. Our 24-hour crisis hotline, as I said earlier, is the best point of entry for anybody who feels that they are experiencing any form of abuse, whether it's verbal, emotional, financial, physical, sexual abuse. We are financial abuse. We are here for them, and they can schedule an appointment. They can also walk into the YWCA during business hours.
Okay.
Any day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. They can walk in, and there will always be a counselor available to speak with them.
Okay.
And in every interaction that we have with clients, we are safety planning. That is the most important thing, to make sure that they are aware of ways to keep themselves and their children safe. And if it does come to the point where they need emergency shelter, we are able to provide that as well as work with our other sister agencies in Connecticut to get them more longer-term shelter. And of course, our individual and group counseling is very important to feel supported through whether they're choosing to stay in the relationship or whether they're taking steps to leave. We want to support them in whatever stage they are in their relationship.
Our time is coming to a close. Quickly, you have an event tomorrow night. Can you just tell our viewers and listeners about that?
Yes, thank you. Please join us at the YWCA tomorrow from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for a community discussion with author Vanessa Gregoriadis. I think I got that right. She is the author of Blurred Lines, Rethinking Sex, Power, and Consent on Campus. And we'd love to have a important discussion on this topic with our community, specifically parents of any college-bound kids, to really talk about the culture of sex on campus, sexual assault, and affirmative consent.
Wonderful. We hope people will come out and listen to that. So Vanessa, Wendy, Amy, and Joe, I thank you all. I commend you all because it's really wonderful work you're doing in the community, and I hope this message really resonated. And for those who need help, I hope you will seek that. And this is Jen Graziano thanking you for taking the time to listen as we took the time to talk. Have a great day, Greenwich. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Report, Cohen testifies. President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, is on Capitol Hill to testify before a congressional panel and will describe President Trump as a racist, a con man, and a cheat. Cohen will tell the House Oversight Committee Trump knew ahead of time that WikiLeaks had emails damaging to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff says he plans to scrutinize Cohen's past testimony to Congress.
The original testimony included falsehood, so we need to go through just what part of his testimony was accurate, just what part was inaccurate, what went into those false statements.